the timeless sound of John Coltrane's 1960 classic Giant Steps, a seminal piece of music and an important turning point in the music of John Coltrane. And it's from that track that we take our direct inspiration for our brand new feature with Kevin Legendre today. Hi Kevin, what have you got in store for us?
Hi Julian, the feature is called Giant Steps and it's about seminal moments in the music, those classic albums, classic recordings that we should all be aware of. And even if we know them, we revisit them so that we can have a guide to a great collection of music in jazz. And we're obviously using the release of Coltrane's box set, the mono box set, with 6 albums and a little 7-inch single as well, which really is a great celebration. And I'll also be looking at contemporary music occasionally as well, which we feel is a giant step for the future.
Fantastic, Kevin. Well, we're looking forward to getting stuck into that box set later on the show. Also on the programme, highlights of a performance by Pan Jumbi, a group led by steel pan performer and educator Dudley Nesbitt, whose music fuses jazz with Trinidadian calypso. Here's a taste. Pan Jumbi, and more from them later on the show. Staying with steel pan, we start with one of the most familiar players in jazz who has famously collaborated with Jamaican pianist Monty Alexander and electric bass innovator Jaco Pastorius as an integral part of the sound of his word-of-mouth big band. Here is Othello Molyneux on steel pan amongst a bevy of jazz greats in 1981, celebrating Jaco's 30th birthday, and this is Liberty City. Thank you. Liberty City from the incomparable Jaco Pastorius, featuring steel pan virtuoso Othello Molino. Also featured is saxophone giant Michael Brecker on tenor sax from Jaco Pastorius, the birthday concert on the Warner Brothers label. Well, jazz has been a popular subject of late in the movies, and the film Born to Be Blue features American trumpeter Chet Baker. Chet Baker hit the jazz scene in the 1950s, touring the West Coast with the iconic alto saxophonist Charlie Parker. He soon teamed up with baritone saxophonist Jerry Mulligan and also formed his own successful quartet by the mid-1950s. Baker had teen idol looks and was often called the James Dean of jazz. He also sang, which added to his popularity. The film highlights Baker during a particularly challenging time in his life, when his drug habit contributed to several mishaps, not least having his teeth knocked out, which meant he had to completely retrain his embouchure. Hollywood star Ethan Hawke plays the trumpeter, conjuring a believable jazz character, singing convincingly in Baker's very smooth style. In the film, the soundtrack is performed by an ensemble put together by Canadian pianist and composer David Braid, with Kevin Turcotte putting in tasteful Baker-esque performances on trumpet, full of his fragile pathos. Two pieces of music are also included from other artists: Haitian Fight Song from Charles Mingus, and this one from Odetta called Go Down Sunshine.
see what tomorrow brings. Well, it may bring sunshine, and again it may bring rain. Get lost, lost in each other's arms. Let's get lost, let them send out alarms. And though they'll think us rather rude, let's tell the world we're in that crazy mood. Let's defrost in a romantic mist. Let's get crossed off everybody's list to celebrate this night we found each other. Let's get lost. Defrost in a romantic mist. Let's get crossed off everybody's list to celebrate this night we found each other. Let's get lost. Oh, let's get lost.
I couldn't resist playing Chet Baker himself there and his classic version of Let's Get Lost from his album Sings and Plays, released in 1955 on the Fantasy Records label. And before that, from the soundtrack to the film on Chet called Born to be Blue, we heard Odetta and Go Down Sunshine. Now we move to the sounds of the Caribbean, as led by steel pan player Dudley Nesbitt with his band Pan Jumbie for our concert performance. Recorded on the 16th of April at the Sage as part of the Gateshead Jazz Festival, the lineup features Dudley Nesbitt on steel pan and percussion, Richard Ormrod on saxes, clarinets, flute and percussion, Barclay McKay on keyboard and guitar, Kenny Higgins on bass guitar, and Sam Hobbs on drums. Before you hear their first track, hear steel pan player and leader of Pan Jumbi, Dudley Nesbitt, who caught up with jazz lineup's Kevin Legendre, connecting with enthusiasm to his Trinidadian roots as he sampled the carnival atmosphere at the festival.
So it's a really interesting choice of instrumentation. We've got the steel pan, the piano and flute, saxophone and clarinet, which gives a lovely harmonic blend, isn't it?
Yeah. We really experiment with the whole, you know, calypso scene. We play like things like bossa nova. We can play a bit of jazz too, but the basic thing is more calypso jazz. But I really want to push calypso jazz and the steel pan, you know, that sort of thing.
Which obviously goes a long way back in time. I mean, just last year we lost Russell Henderson, who was one of the great pioneers of pan jazz. But we should also mention the very, very important Othello Molyneux, Robert Greenidge, people who played with jazz fusion musicians like Jaco Pastorius back in the 70s. So you're coming out of all of that, aren't you?
Yeah, all of that sort of thing, yeah. But how this band really come about is that our home practicing, and a guy was passing in the road and he heard the steel pans. And he's a drummer, he went to Leeds College of Music, and he invited me back to his house. And I went there with my pan and we started jamming. I teach them to play calypso. At first they were laughing, because they find the lyrics in calypso just basic, you know, so they couldn't really come to terms with it. But then they get the hang of it. And I give a lot of jokes to it, you know, like Trini joke, you know, that sort of thing, yeah. Always happy. That's what calypso is all about, you know, yeah. The lively kind of music, you have to be happy. Even though you're sad, the time you hear it, you feel happy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pan Jumbie highlighting their groove necessity with Out of the Blues, and more from the band later on the show. Now to Norwegian sax man Marius Neset, who releases his most ambitious musical undertaking, combining the full orchestral textures of the London Sinfonietta with his quartet on an album he calls Snowmelt. This is the seventh and final movement of his suite Arches of Nature, titled Pyramiden. Saxophonist Marius Neset and Arches of Nature, Pyramiden, featuring the London Sinfonietta, out on the ACT label on the 26th of August. You're listening to the best of jazz from the UK and beyond with me, Julian Joseph, on Jazz Lineup here on BBC Radio 3. And staying with the saxophone, I'm pleased to say I'm joined again by Kevin Legendre for Giant Steps. You've chosen something really special.
Yeah, it's the Heavyweight box set, 6 albums and a 7-inch single, which is also important because it's John Coltrane in mono. We're going through this vinyl revival at the moment, and here we have these 6 albums and the 7-inch single reissued in mono, which is important because it takes us that much closer to the history of the music. It's how a lot of people would have heard it when the albums were issued in the late 50s and early 60s, because that's a kind of turning point between mono and stereo, but a lot of people were still listening in mono. So there's a historical authenticity in the presentation of the music, which is important.
And this resurgence is real, isn't it?
Absolutely. You've got a new generation of listeners who are tuning in to the warmth of vinyl, and you also have artists as well who are recording only on vinyl as well, and I think that's important too. So you've got a lot of labels who are issuing records on vinyl because they see the audio and the aesthetic value of it, which is important.
Well, that's something we often talk about.
Absolutely.
Well, let's listen to the first track. What have you chosen?
I've chosen Cousin Mary from Giant Steps because it's one of the first Coltrane tunes that I think I really got as a listener. Mm-hmm. Because, wait for this, through a version which was not by Coltrane. I actually heard a version by Leon Thomas, mm-hmm. the great singer who worked with Pharoah Sanders, one of Coltrane's protégés. So there's a nice little link there. And I remember hearing Leon's version and thinking, what a great melody. He was singing it. And then hearing the Coltrane version and hearing that melody played on the saxophone and the strength of the soloing, just the energy that was flowing through the track as well. One thing that is a sort of a running thread through this whole collection, it's the blues. We forget how important the blues was to Coltrane. And this was one of the first very blues-heavy tracks that I heard, done by a singer who was also a great blues singer as well, and then done by Coltrane as well, which I thought, yeah, this is it. This really, it makes me understand so much more about the music.
Thank you.
Cousin Mary from John Coltrane, The Atlantic Years in Mono. And that's taken from one of the albums in the box set called Giant Steps. What are the other albums in the box set?
Bags and Train, Ole Coltrane, plays the blues, the avant-garde with the great Don Cherry, the Coltrane legacy. And you've got this lovely little bonus, which is the 7-inch single, It's So Cute, of My Favourite Things, which of course was recorded in 1961.
What was the atmosphere of the music at this time?
It's modernism. It's the great innovators pushing at various corners and taking the music forward. It's the likes of Miles, it's Monk, it's Mingus, it's Gil Evans with larger groups, all finding new approaches to harmony, dealing with chords, dealing with chord progressions, looking at how you can stretch form, looking at how you can approach a song in a different way so that you have new sensations for the listeners. And obviously at the same time, and this is where Coltrane is particularly relevant, they're really working hard on their instruments to come up with new sounds, to come up with new ways of soloing. So it's that sense of the ideas and the kind of the brains, the big brains in jazz, just thinking so much and giving you this flourish of great music and great energy.
Well, you've mentioned Monk, Miles, Mingus. What about the modern jazz quartet?
A really important group led by John Lewis, just in terms of what they were doing with classical music, how they were bringing that into jazz. These softer palettes, more muted colours, give you another sensation in the music. But also, one of their really, really important innovations was how they brought in various little episodes and sections and how a piece can unfold in unexpected ways. It will go in different directions. There might be key changes that you don't see coming. And I think that was really important to somebody like Coltrane as well. He's very attracted to their music.
So what are we going to hear next?
We're going to hear Coltrane with one of the modern jazz quartet members, the vibraphonist Milt Jackson, a fantastic soloist, one of the innovators on that instrument, incidentally. And they made an album together, Bags and Train, in 1961. And there's a great version of a piece by Dizzy Gillespie and modern jazz quartet's John Lewis with lots of different sections, lots of changes of direction and key changes, which really keeps you on your toes. It's called Bebop. Thank you.
You're listening to Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, and I'm joined by my very special guest, Kevin Legendre. And that was Bebop, taken from The Atlantic Years in Mono, a furious piece of music.
Astounding.
And Connie Kay is on drums.
He's overlooked, I feel, in terms of the great innovators of bebop drumming, somebody who gives you all those polyrhythms and just the incredible sharpness, the precision, the way that he's responding to everything, how he's setting the tempo, but you've got this running dialogue between him and the other musicians as well. His accents, the way that he's giving you that added colour to the music, he's an incredible musician.
Also a member of the Modern Jazz
Quartet. Modern Jazz Quartet, yeah. The circle is complete.
It is indeed. Now, Coltrane, his art, his creations are huge, aren't they?
I think the thing about this box set, which is really important, is that you get the sense of the enormity of his output, because we have six fantastic albums that were recorded in a couple of years, 1959 to 1961. And you think about all the music that he's recording as well for Impulse at that time too. The sense of a flow of ideas and his constant appearances in the studio and on stage as well give the impression of somebody who's just driven by creativity, where he's exhausting every possible creative option that he has. Okay, what can I do now? Where can I go next? And at the same time, giving you that sense of history, as we mentioned before, the blues, gospel, swing, his roots. We shouldn't forget that he was raised by a preacher. John W. Coltrane refers to William Blair, who was a reverend, who actually raised him in North Carolina before he went to Philadelphia. And I think that his roots in Southern African-American music are always there. I think the other thing as well is that we have this wonderful opportunity to listen in mono as well, to hear the original sound. And that's very important just in terms of how we can get a handle on the music as well.
What for you characterizes the difference of listening in mono or in stereo? Because we're used to stereo.
I think there's almost like a concentration in mono, you know, because you don't have the sound over two channels. It depends on the quality of your record player as well and your speakers, it has to be said. It's the equipment that you're using. But if you have a good quality setup, it's almost like the punch and that concentration of sound just on the one channel rather than the two, which makes more of an impact on you.
There's absolutely a warmth, isn't there, to the listening experience. I think this is what's drawn so many listeners back to vinyl.
To good old black plastic, to good old vinyl. So yeah, as we said before, it's worth recapping. It makes perfect sense for this box set to come out now in mono at this time of the revival of vinyl.
Now let's just establish what this box set looks like, because the box set is actually released on vinyl.
It is. It's a huge, great big beige suitcase with John Coltrane in mono written on it. You open it up and you've got the discs themselves, and you've got fantastic prints of the original artwork, which if you look at albums like Olé, with that wonderful design, abstract gold and red colours with the title right on the top with that particular typeface, then even the photography of Giant Steps, the design of the Avant-Garde, very wistful painting that you have. All of these different albums, the artwork is very distinctive. You can revel in the glory of it, holding the prints in both hands.
Well, Kevin, that leads us nicely into your last selection, which is taken from the album Olé as part of this box set. You've chosen Dahomey Dance.
Absolutely, because it shows a side of Coltrane which is overlooked, and that is his ability as an orchestrator and somebody who could put together bands in an unusual way. Mm. So the key thing here is the use of the two basses, Reggie Workman and Art Davis, mm-hmm. with one really swinging and the other playing more in a guitar oud style, slightly flamenco in places. So he's giving you this mini string section, and then you've got horns on the other side, Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, somebody called George Lane on flute and alto saxophone.
Who sounds a lot to me like Eric Dolphy.
And obviously Coltrane and McCoy Tyner on piano. And the sound, I think, it's almost like a smallish group with a very big band sound. The other thing about this particular track as well, I'm sure you notice, is that there's a great quote just after 3.5 minutes. It's on 3:35. Coltrane actually plays the first part of Ornette Coleman's Turnaround, the first part of the phrase. It's very quickly, it kind of flashes by, and you think, oh, what was that? And I've listened to this track so many times and I've never realised it. And then suddenly it hit me, finally, after maybe I needed to hear it in mono for it to come through. But it's important because it reminds us that Coltrane was taking an interest in the younger players, that somebody like Ornette Coleman, Albert Eiler, that they were on his radar as well. And of course, part of the box set is the album that he made with Ornette Coleman's great frontline partner, Don Cherry, the trumpeter.
Well, there's hours of fun in this box set, and thank you so much for bringing this as the first Giant Steps.
My pleasure entirely.
Well, from John Coltrane, The Atlantic Years in Mono, the album is Olé, and this is Dahomey Dance.
Thank you.
John Coltrane and Dahomey Dance, taken from The Atlantic Years in Mono. And thanks to Kevin Legendre for his first edition of Giant Steps, and that box set would certainly be a great addition to any collection. And we'll be hearing more from Kevin later as part of tonight's concert performance featuring Pan Jumbie. We heard drummer Peter Erskine featured on Liberty City with bassist Jaco Pastorius earlier on the show. They both share the distinction of being members of the great fusion supergroup Weather Report. Well, these days, Erskine collaborates in a trio led by Finnish pianist Iiro Rantala with Swedish bassist Lars Danielsson. Now, Iiro, as a pianist, has a jolly and optimistic way of playing and brings an informal sense of playfulness to the proceedings, from his original composition, Snapchat, to the driving Voyage by Kenny Barron, to his own take on Jimi Hendrix's Little Wing. Here's a clip from the originator Hendrix, followed by the Iiro Rantala trio taking it in their own direction. Hendrick's classic Little Wing from pianist Eero Rantala with Lars Danielsson and Peter Erskine. The album is called How Long Is Now and out on the ACT Records label. This is Julian Joseph bringing you the finest jazz from British shores and beyond here on BBC Radio 3's Jazz Lineup. And now we return to our performance from featured band Panjumbi, recorded at the Sage as part of Gateshead Jazz on our very own Jazz Lineup stage, hosted by Kevin Legendre. Let's rejoin Kevin at the festival with Panjumbi band leader Dudley Nesbitt.
Calypso has a very upbeat, a very joyous vibe. That's why musicians like playing it. The English jazz musician John Sermon, who also recorded with Russell Henderson, talked about how much he enjoyed playing with musicians from the West Indies because they had that joy in the way that they played.
Yeah, I get the guys to understand me, you know, like through my cooking, liming, chatting and things, you know, and we get to understand each other, you know, like talk about Trinidad a lot. I have loads of DVDs and things home, show it to them, Carnival and all that sort of thing, yeah.
So it's about the culture as well as the music?
The culture, yeah, the promoting the pan. And some people have a negative kind of way of thinking about the pan, you know, like nothing wrong with the Yellow Bird and the folk song from the Caribbean, you know, like, but can do more than that. They have a wider scope to do more things than it, like.
And the name Panjumbi is very specific. Tell us about the meaning of the word Jumbi.
Jumbi is a sort of spirit. The spirit of carnival, you know, like called Jumbi, you know, like if you jump in about this, yeah, like he has some Jumbi in him or something like the Jumbi.
You got some Moko Jumbi.
Moko Jumbi, you know, that kind of dance about it. So the pan is the spirit in the band. So we call it Pan Jumbi.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the fabulous Pan Jumbi. Representing Leeds and Trinidad, West Indian Northern Steel. Sunshine indoors as well as outdoors. Dancing on the stairs, dancing on the concourse. It's fabulous.
Play Mr. Panist from Pan Jumbi, led by Trinidadian steel pan player Dudley Nesbitt, recorded on the Jazz Lineup stage at Gateshead Jazz. And for more details on the tracks you heard and pictures from the festival, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Well, time's almost up. On next week's Jazz Lineup, a very special edition recorded in Switzerland at the 50th edition of Montreux Jazz Festival in the company of the incredible Mr. Quincy Jones. Not to be missed. And remember, lots more jazz right here on BBC Radio 3. On Monday night at 11, Jazz Now live from the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, with music from guitarist Kevin McKenzie's new trio and Tom Bancroft with Trio Red playing music from their new album Lucid Dreamers. To sign off with tonight, something from the power trio of saxophonist David Murray with pianist Jerry Allen and drummer Terry Lynn Carrington. These three connect beautifully on an album that revels in an organic and sensitive musicality. Their CD is called Perfection, and this is For Father Peter O'Brien. From me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Was For Father Peter O'Brien by the Murray, Allen and Carrington Power Trio, ending this week's Jazz Lineup. The programme was presented by Julian Joseph and produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. And Julian said you can check the track listings by visiting the Jazz Lineup page on the BBC Radio 3 website. More jazz tonight when Geoffrey Smith explores Chet Baker's life and music. That's at 12 midnight tonight. And our Saturday afternoon jazz sequence, Jazz Record Requests, returns at 5 o'clock next Saturday, followed by Jazz Lineup at 6.
Ah, the Proms, the greatest music festival in the world each summer here on Radio 3. But how should we respond to the music? Well, you could clap, of course, or tap your feet, or you could write a poem. Yes, once again, we're inviting you to write a poem in response to a piece of music at this year's Proms. Myself and my fellow judge, the poet Jackie Kay, are looking for pieces that distill what it's like to experience the music. There are two categories, 12 to 18 and 19 and above. The competition is open now and the entries must be in by midnight on Sunday, August the 14th. Please have a go, particularly if you've never written a poem before. Entry forms and terms and conditions are on the link to the Verb website or the Proms website. I'm ready.
Hello, I'm John Shea. Welcome to This Saturday Evening on BBC Radio 3, where it's now 7:30. Time for us to go live to the Royal Albert Hall for this evening's Prom. It's presented by Tom Redmond.
Thank you, John, and a very good evening as you join us here at the Royal Albert Hall for what is always a highlight of the BBC Proms season, a performance by the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain, or as they like to call themselves, the greatest orchestra of teenagers in the world. Tonight, they perform two of the most loved works in the orchestral repertoire, Strauss's Also Sprach Zarathustra and Holst's The Planets. These two musical giants will be bookended with music by living composers. Colin Matthews' addition to the Planet Suite, Pluto the Renewer, and the work with which we open, the London premiere of Iris Terschipholz's Gravitational Waves. This is music that really captures the zeitgeist of NYO. Performing music, it is at the absolute cutting edge of modernity, yet preserves traditions of the past. The past, in this case, happened 1.3 billion years ago, when two black holes collided, the sound of which, a bird-like chirp, formed the inspiration for gravitational waves. As well as orchestra, we're going to hear electronic samples and spoken word. To take up the story, here's composer Iris Terschipholz.
We hear a quote of Kip Thorne. He was so impressed about this gravitational waves development, and he said something like, so till now we always thought the universe would be a quiet ocean, but now we discovered it is not. It's an ocean of crashing waves, a fabric of storm, and everything changed in our mind about the picture of the ocean. And I really liked this, not only as a quote, but also as an idea of what could that sound like, this crashing wave ocean. And there is another quote at the end of the piece. It's by Isaac Newton. We are able to count the heavenly bodies. We are able to deal with this. We are aware about that. But we have no influence on the madness of people.
Iris Terschipholz, whose gravitational waves we're about to hear. Well, this is a piece that doesn't just call for the extraordinary music abilities of the NYO players, but also their theatrical skills. If you're listening on Radio 3, be aware that the piece starts with a lengthy silence, during which, well, I won't give it away, but if you want to experience the visual elements of the performance, you can watch it live via the Proms website and on the iPlayer. That's applause for leader of the 2016 National Youth Orchestra, Millie Ashton, who has just got to attach a microphone to her violin. The front desks of violins and violas have to be amplified for certain points of this piece that calls on all sorts of electronic effects, as well as traditional acoustic sounds. So the harps are at one point asked to retune their instruments, as you'll soon hear. That applause for conductor Edward Gardner, coming on stage to conduct the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain in the London premiere of Iris Terschipholz's Gravitational Waves.